Good morning. So Jesus gave his disciples lots of commands and instruction in life. What was the last group of commands he gave them before he was taken up to heaven? What was that called? Does anyone remember? The Great Commission. So let's start in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, so starting in verse 18. So this, again, this is before Jesus goes up to heaven, and he wants to give them some very last words of advice, some instruction. Just like if, you know, some of us parents, if we knew we only had one last opportunity to give our kids advice, you know, we'd probably think about what's most important to tell them. Well, I think Jesus here also, he's about to go up to heaven, and he wants to just impart some very last advice to them. So verse 18. When Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we see a few things here. First of all, in verse 19, he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." That's what I'm going to focus on more today. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus in one aspect of that? But we also see he tells him in verse 20, teaching them to observe all I commanded you. He wants full obedience in every area of their life. So that's another important thing. And then, of course, a good encouragement. He says, "I'm with you always to the end of the age." What I wanted to talk about today was, what does it mean to make disciples? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Is it simply that we've believed Jesus died for us? And we've repented, and therefore, that's it, I'm a disciple. Is there more to that? And I wanted to look at what the Lord taught them about what does it mean to be a disciple. So let's go back in the same book in Matthew. Let's go back to chapter 16. So again, we have to remember, Jesus is commanding them to make disciples of all nations. So really, we're going to be looking at that. What does it mean to be a disciple? So for our own lives and for when we're talking to people around us, we can tell them what it actually means. So let's look at chapter 16, starting in verse 24. So Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" So here we see Jesus is saying, if anyone wants to come after me, or if anyone wants to be a disciple, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So here we see Jesus is making it really clear. If we want to be a disciple, we have to take up our cross, and we have to follow Jesus. I'm going to talk about what that means in a little bit more, but let's look at the same example in Mark chapter 8. So we're going to look at the same passage in three different Gospels. So Mark chapter 8. And if we go to verse 34, Mark chapter 8, it says, "Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, 'If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul?'" So we see the same words again in Mark chapter 8. And we'll look at one more. If we go to Luke chapter 14. In Luke 14, if we look at verse 27. Jesus says, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So here, this word, I think, is a very strong word. Jesus is saying, if we don't take up our cross and follow after him, we cannot be his disciple. So to me, that would say, if I say I believe in Jesus and I want to follow him, but I'm not actually taking up my cross, then I can't be his disciple. That's what the word of the Lord tells us. So because of that, what I wanted to do is I wanted to look at that a little deeper. What does it actually mean to take up our cross and follow him in our life? What does bearing that cross look like in our life? Secondly, I wanted to talk a little bit about what does compromise look like and the dangers of that so we can be prepared against that. And then how often, or the frequency, how often does the Lord want us to take up our cross? So first of all, what does bearing our cross look like in our life? What does that actually look like? So we'll look at it in Galatians 5:11. You don't have to turn there. It talks about the offense of the cross. The cross, or how the cross can be a stumbling block. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, why? How can the cross be an offense or a stumbling block? And I think it's because the cross wants to cut out the self-life. It wants to cut out the sin in our life. And the cross of Jesus, as we pick up our cross, we have to deny ourselves. And we have to say, I'm not going to do these things anymore that we want to do. Some Christians want forgiveness of sins. They want Jesus on the cross, but they don't want the cross of Christ in their life. The Lord wants us to actually take up a cross and deny ourselves so that we can actually follow him. So if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, one measuring stick I think we have about what does it mean to take up our cross? What does that actually look like in our life? If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says here, whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I like this verse because it doesn't just say whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. It actually adds something. It says, or whatever you do. So that phrase to me, where it says whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, that expands the verse in my mind to apply for everything in our life. Whatever we do, we need to do all things to the glory of God. So I think we have to think about our life and say, are we living our entire life to God's glory? What are we doing with our talents that God gives us? What do we do with what we listen to for music? What do we do for entertainment? With our time when no one else is around, are we living our life to God's glory in everything? If God shows us an area in our life that we need to change, he really shows us that, but we like that area. It's like something we like. It could be sin, or it could be just some self desire that's not what God wants, and God points his finger at that and said, hey, that's not what I want for you. Self-denial or taking up a cross would be actually giving that up and saying, Lord, I want to give that up for you. So when I think about my own life, and I think about, you know, all of us brothers and sisters, or, you know, young adults who are starting out in life, kind of, for, you know, young people or children, we need to tell the Lord we want to do all things to his glory in our life. We should ask the Lord to show us if there's anything in our life that's not living up to his glory, and tell him that we're willing to give it up. So I think that's something we can all do practically. Lord, I want to do all things to your glory, and I'm willing to give it up for you, Lord. Another aspect, I think, to bearing our cross is in relationships with others. You know, we're told in the Bible to consider other people more important than us, and we're told to also walk with humility toward one another. I know sometimes our self wants to be right, especially in relationships, sometimes with husband and wives or other things. You know, we want to be right, and we're sometimes slow to do that. Bearing our cross, I think, in that way means we'd be very quick to say sorry. We'd be very quick to not say, oh, I'm right. Hey, I think I'm right, so I'm not going to say I'm sorry for how I said it. Bearing our cross, I think, in relationships would be very quick to say I'm sorry and have humility toward each other. So I think that's one area how we can bear our cross. The second area I wanted to touch on was compromise. There's dangers of compromise in our life. So let's go to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 verse 14 says, it says, put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. So put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. So I thought about that, and I thought, what does it mean to make a provision? You know, if you're going to go on a long journey and you have to take some food with you, you know, you take some food, you put it in a little bag or backpack, and you take it with you. It's usually a small thing. It's not like a mass. You can't take all the food you have in your house. You have to take a small amount, and you're setting it aside for something you might need later. Like, that's kind of what a provision would be. So what does it mean to make provision for the flesh? Like, it could be a small area in our life that it may be sin, clearly, or it could be something that's just feeding our self-life, that the Lord has shown us, hey, this is not his best for you. And, you know, if we like it, and we might say to ourselves, hey, if I'm not killing people, if I'm not stealing, this small area in my life is okay. I'll just keep it because I like it. And I think the Lord wants us to not make any provision for the flesh. I wanted to look at an example in that. If you go to Joshua chapter 6, we're going to look at the story of Achan. So in Joshua chapter 6, the children of Israel were about to take over. They were about to attack the city of Jericho. They had just come through into the promised land. They had come through the rivers of Jordan, and the Lord was about to enable them to take the city. So the Lord gave them a command before they entered the city. And in Joshua chapter 6, in verse 16, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city will be under the ban. It and all that remains in it belongs to the Lord. But as for you, keep yourself from the things under the ban so that you do not covet them, and take some things under the ban and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble to it." And then he said, "But the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They will go into the treasury of the Lord." And then what happens is, I think a lot of you know the story, they go in, they take over the city, but there's a man among Israel named Achan. And when he's there, he actually sees some gold or some precious cloths or something that he looks at. He covets them, he takes them, and then he hides them. So if we go ahead to Joshua chapter 7, verse 20, Achan says to Joshua, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, I coveted them and I took them, and behold, they're concealed in the ground inside my tent." Achan, when he saw this stuff, he may have rationalized in his mind, "Hey, I'm in a new land, I've got my family, I've got to support them, and this is a small thing. It's not hurting anyone else. I'm just going to take it, I'm going to hide it into the ground, and no one will know about it." Like, he could have rationalized the sin without realizing that he was going against the commandment of the Lord. It was a significant transgression. But in his mind, he might have thought, "Hey, it's not a big deal. It's not hurting anyone else, and it'll help me get a fresh start in the land." Sometimes, we can rationalize this in our own life, and we might think, "Hey, this thing I'm doing, it doesn't hurt anyone else. It's not a big deal." And we might do that with certain things in our life, but we have to remember, going back to what I said earlier, we want to do all things to the glory of God. So if this area in our life, if there's an area like that and it doesn't do all things to the glory of God, then in a sense, it's going against God's command. And we don't want to be like Achan. And Achan probably assumed, "Hey, this is not going to hurt anyone else." But for those who know the story, when Israel went to fight the very next battle at Ai, they lost many men. They lost the battle because of this sin. And I would say to us as well, if there's any compromise in our life, this actually could hurt other people. Us adults, we have younger people looking up to us. You young people, you have people looking up to you as well. So if we have compromise in our life, it can hurt others. And the Lord wants us to do all things to his glory. Achan had a severe consequence. And the Lord also advised us with what we read earlier. If we don't pick up our cross daily and follow him, there could be a consequence, and the consequence, we could forfeit our souls. So there's a significant consequence. The Lord wants us to pick up our cross daily and do all things to his glory. So what I want to do for myself is I want to set my heart to follow the Lord fully every day. I don't want to delay. Some of you might think, "Well, I can wait till tomorrow, I can wait till next month." I would say we do it today. Don't tell yourself, "Well, I'm going to change this area next week, next month, next year." We got to do it today. The Lord wants us to do it today. So that ties into the last point about how often we need to bear the cross. The Lord told the disciples to pick up your cross when? Daily. Every day he wants us to pick up our cross. And if we're still in Joshua, if you go to the very last chapter in Joshua, when Joshua was about to die, then if we go to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14, this is the last words of Joshua to the people of Israel. And he says in verse 14, "Fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and serve the Lord. Choose for yourself today whom you will serve." So we see the exhortation from Joshua: give up your idols, give up those areas in your life that are not glorifying God, and choose for yourself today whom you'll serve. I think the Lord has the same call for us today. If there's anything in our life, he's showing us that we need to pick up our cross. We need to go the way of self-denial. We're not living in this area to God's glory. We need to choose today. Lord, I'm willing to give it up, and I'm willing to live for you today. Let's flip over to Hebrews chapter 4 for a similar exhortation. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. He says, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, today," as long as it is called today, "so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So there we see again, we're encouraged to daily encourage one another. And the question, why daily? So that we will not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. What it seems like to me, we're either going to go on with the Lord, choose his will, and if we're not, the opposite is we could be hardened, and we don't want to do that. So we got to choose today. Lord, I'm willing to take up my cross today. I'm willing to go the road of self-denial, and I'm willing to do it today. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. I'm not going to wait till next week, till next month. We need to choose today. You guys may remember this story. When Paul shared the gospel with Felix in the book of Acts, he told him a whole bunch of things about how to walk with the Lord, what it meant to be a believer. And as he was telling Felix this, Felix became frightened by what he heard. And he said, "Oh, I don't want to hear anymore. Come back another day and tell me." And it's not recorded that he actually came back another day and told Paul. Felix put it off. He wasn't willing to hear it today because he was scared. And he said, "Oh, another day." And it's not recorded that it ever happened. He may have never got another chance. What the Lord wants us to do is the Lord doesn't want us to put off another day if there's areas in our life that we need to change. We need to choose the road of self-denial, but it's also the road of true joy. It's a joy. When we're walking in his will, there's no greater joy than that. And I think it's worth it. And today can be the day of our salvation. So whatever we do, do all things to his glory.